You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Had a good June the 23rd, 2021. The show, of course, as you've fallen in love with already since we moved to these hours, January the 4th, is DCR on 98.7 ESPN. A lot to get into today. Checking guys for illegal substances has become quite a must-watch television. We'll get into that today. The Mets, the injuries continue to compile. The Yankees, well, they hit the baseball a little bit, but a tough loss last night at home to the Kansas City Royals. Rick has overslept in a day that he said he never would, and we say good morning to one Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dave, although there was a little bit of a disappointment in the Bronx last night. Kansas City Royals rolling into town. You'd think you'd be able to take care of them people. Not the way that you would want to get the three-game set started with them. I'm just saying. Definitely a disappointment.
No, not at all. And I don't know the exact number, but I think the Yankees are about 500, Chris, when Gerrit Cole makes his starts overall. Not that his record is that, but when he starts a game, they're about 500. And you have to be better when you have your ace on the hill.
No, you hate to waste one of those Gerrit Cole starts. I mean, he gives you 7 innings, a 2-run ball. You'd like to be able to find a way to finish the drill. And the Yankees' record this season, after leading through 7 innings, is 29-2. So for Loaiza to melt down the way that he did and give away that game, and then on top of that, going 0-for with runners in scoring position and leaving 13 men on the bags, it's not exactly what you're looking for, Dave. It's not. And I know that hindsight is 20/20, and the fact that you had a day off coming into this series and you decided that you weren't going to have Gary Sanchez's bat in the lineup, I just feel like there was a missed opportunity for the Yankees right there against those people. But hey, man, your ace doesn't love throwing to Sanchez. He prefers Higashioka, so you defer to what Gerrit Cole would want under those circumstances. I just felt like last night is one of those times where it comes back to bite you.
I appreciate that you've multiple times now called the Kansas City Royals those people. Do you have an issue with Kansas City?
No, I don't have an issue with Kansas City, Dave. Nothing personal. It's just, you know, we're supposed to be taking care of business, Dave. I mean, we've won 2 straight series, 5 out of the last 6. And when you look at the Kansas City Royals, they're not very good. They're not a good baseball team. So to lose the opener of the 3-game set, it's frustrating as a Yankees fan, just because you feel like you're finally starting to get some traction. You're finally starting to gain some momentum in the season. You're gaining ground in the standings in the division. And to drop one of these, it's just, I don't know, man. It doesn't sit well with me. But that's what's so maddening about this team. Like, every point this year, when you think that they're about to turn it around, when you think they're about to get it going, something ends up happening and they fall back down to earth. It's just, I hope that the Yankees and that loss last night is just a blip on the radar and that they continue to keep things rolling. I anticipate that they will. But again, I just don't feel like this team is in position to be giving away games, and last night it sure felt like that.
Yeah, it really did. Now, do you realize what has happened? I mean, from the minute that this guy started the Twitter battle with me, nothing has gone right in his life. The Islanders lose 8-0 in a game. Now they have game 6 tonight at the Coliseum. And he oversleeps. And we welcome in Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. No, I didn't oversleep. Had some technology issues, but we're back. We're up and running. No big deal.
We missed you at the start of the show. We missed you on the pre-show meeting. We missed you at the start of the show. We missed you. When you're not here, we miss you greatly.
Yeah, I don't know if you needed to draw attention to it. You kind of could have just stalled for a couple minutes to let me get the machine up and running, but that's fine.
No, for you not to be here for the first 4 minutes of the show, it's noticeable, and I wanted the people to have an idea of, in fact, where you were. But we're happy to have you now.
I'm happy to be here. And just so you know, I mean, it's the war will continue. This is not going to deter me. It will go on.
I've
done what I came to done.
All right.
I don't think it's working out for you, Rico. I think this might be one of those ones that you concede.
You're falling apart. Things are completely falling apart.
Oh, look at what has happened.
I refuse to give up. I refuse until the Islanders are out of this postseason. I refuse to back down.
But the reason that they're on the verge of being out of the postseason, I think, is because of you. Even the people that thought it was great and what you did, what you posted the other day all over Twitter, and everyone was, you know, having a real laugh at it. Even those people, as it was 5-0 the other night, were like, Rick, maybe this is too much. Maybe dial it back a little bit. And you're like, no, I'm going to double down. I mean, you are begging for the hockey gods to have the Islanders lose this series.
No, we already got our fortunes have changed a little bit. First step in the right direction. Just
what,
a $5,000 fine.
Keep Barzell?
That's it. We got Barzell.
Uh huh.
You should have seen what happened to me yesterday too. I don't know if he was messing with me or if he just wasn't paying attention. So Cass's dad calls because he's listening to Sports Talk Radio in Tampa, and he's like, "Oh, did Rick see this?" Because that's what he always does. Did Rick see this? And Cass is like, "You know, Dad, you realize it's his job to watch sports, right? Like he's pretty much seen or heard, you know, everything that's going on." And he's like, "No, he hasn't heard this yet. Matt Barzell suspended for Game 6." And I was like, no way. You got to be kidding me. I didn't think he'd be suspended. Dave, Chris, no one thought he'd be suspended. So I'm going through Twitter. I'm everywhere. Everywhere.
So he's
nowhere to be found.
With you?
And I'm like, are you sure you saw this or heard this right? And he's like, well, now that you say it, maybe they said he should be suspended. Like
Now here's my question, though. Was he messing with you and knew he wasn't suspended? Or did he think, in fact, he was suspended and just misheard it and gave you misinformation?
I think it was misinformation, but he is so horny to...
He wants to beat you. Wants to be the one that tells you these things.
Yeah, like he wants to scoop me so bad. Like he cannot wait. I think he just jumped the gun a little bit. I think he got a little excited.
Uh-huh.
And he tried to give me some information because, I mean, obviously he'd be happy about that because he's a huge Lightning fan, but... Whew.
So how does it work? If, and I'm not even saying they will, if the Lightning win this game tonight, is this a situation where you now don't talk to the in-laws for an extended period of time, or do you get right back on the horse?
I'll probably right back on the horse. I mean, we got a really good relationship with Cass's parents, so we'll probably talk to them. I mean, I will ignore the fact, like, there'll be no hockey talk. Especially with that, I mean, what they've done with the sending all the Lightning paraphernalia and everything else. Ella's walking around with a Lightning t-shirt. I mean, it's too much.
I can't believe that you allow this.
I had no say. This wasn't
Stop it. It's your home. It's under your roof. They're not even there. You have to put a stop to this. It's either you or it's Cassie that's doing this. Stop it.
No, I can't. Listen, I can't speak for my wife, but you don't have a daughter. So, she wants to wear the Lightning t-shirt. She's going to wear the Lightning t-shirt.
No, see, here's your misstep. The second you opened it, it should have been in the garbage immediately. There's no way you can bring that kind of juju into the house as you're playing the Lightning.
I will say, though, proud moment. They got Milo one, too, and he said, no, it's disgusting. He won't wear it.
Love it.
So I got one.
Love it.
That's fine. I got one. That's all. I mean, we played hockey yesterday, and he made sure he was the Islanders. So I got, what can I do? I got one. That's fine for now, and then we'll have Rocco once he's old enough to realize what's going on.
So you think you've lost Ella?
I think we might have lost Rick. Rick.
We'll see if Cassie or something.
Oh, there he is. Are you back?
Back what?
Uh-oh. We lost you again.
For about 30 seconds, brother.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, man.
It's a joke.
I think Dave was trying to get to the bottom of whether or not Ella was going to be an Islanders fan.
You think you've lost her as far as the Islanders fandom is concerned?
I think for right now I've lost her. But. Now, you know what she wants, right? She wants a puppy. She wants a turtle. I go pet. Now, all of a sudden, I say, you root for the Islanders. I'll get you a pet. Now, it's a different story.
I got to be honest.
Why don't you get them like a turtle or something?
Get the dogs a turtle? I think that would be great parenting. I think if you bribe her and manipulate her at this point, it's the only way to go. Ella, if I see you rooting for the Lightning, you will never get a dog. If you root for the Islanders, the chance remains there that you will, in fact, get a little puppy.
Yeah, I know, but as a parent, I mean, don't you like when you like you don't have to force your kids to do things?
Yes, I gotta
of course,
imagine.
But I think that ship has sailed. I don't think I think she's now a lost cause unless you manipulate.
Yeah, this. I mean, she's. She actually might have said to me yesterday, "And welcome aboard."
And welcome aboard.
I think she's on that Untucked podcast boat, headed right into Lightning fandom.
Oh.
It gets even worse. I didn't even want to tell you this story, but I have to now because
now you have to. You have to.
So we lost. So the year we lost to Tampa, first round of the playoffs, we lost to Tampa. That's the year they won the Stanley Cup.
Right.
So going into that series, they were legitimately concerned about us. Like, we were a live team. And, you know, had we not had a couple turnovers at home, you know, maybe it's a different story. But, I mean, they felt like if they got past us, it would be a tough test. And then they liked their chances moving forward. Now, it wasn't going to be easy, but again, tough first round matchup. So I'm gutted. We lose. You know, that was a series where I bumped Javi Bulin because he was playing out of his mind and everything else. So we lose, and now season's over. So, you know, Cass obviously wants to go down to Tampa. So we head down to Tampa, and, you know, Cassie's dad's going crazy. It's the, you know, the run to the cup. So he gets a phone call from his buddy. Hey, I got some tickets to the Eastern Conference Finals. You want to go? And he's like, Rick, will you go with me? I'm like, absolutely not. I'm not going with you.
I think I've heard this story like numerous times. You went on camera, and then people started
They put me right behind. He had me like two rows up from behind Robert Esch, the goalie who I played with. And Esch looks up, taking a sip of water, and looks at me and notices me. I'm like, oh, my God. This is why I didn't want to be at this game right
but
now.
But you become like an 80-year-old. You're very repetitive in your stories of what you've told us and what you remember telling us or not.
I don't remember things. You got to understand something. Canty and I have had almost, I mean, multiple concussions.
Yes.
We can't store information like you. I say something, I remember for that day, and then I got to clean it out. It's there, and then it's gone.
But you lead into it like it's this fresh, great story, and I'm you know, sitting back, feet are up. I'm like, oh, great, I got a new one on the horizon. And I'm like, I've heard this story five times.
Well, it was fresh for me, Dave, because I don't remember the story. So it was great.
Listeners, I never told it in this time slot. Not one time in this time slot.
Oh, maybe, in fact, that's true. Why don't you tell us the story about the buddy of yours that almost got kidnapped?
By the cab driver? Oh, no, that had to jump out of the car. Yeah,
jump out of the car, as if you've never told it before.
Yeah. Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I would hope, right, you know, fingers crossed, this show continues to do well, and we're doing, you know, 10, 15 years of this. I'm not going to have 10, 15 years of fresh new stories. So you're going to hear the same story a couple different times. Just deal with it. Just pretend like it's new.
No. Why don't you, at 8 o'clock in the morning, start to live? Go out there and live, and instead of just going shopping and coming back with, oh, I bought new fresh ripe avocados, come back with, listen, I was almost kidnapped on the road. Like, I was at a service station, and I had to change my own car, and get knee deep into life.
That's a hidden talent, by the way. If I wasn't going to the grocery store every week, I would have never known I'm an unbelievable avocado picker. I'm telling you right now, I go 6 for 6 every single time.
That's a superpower?
Oh,
you find the right
fresh avocados?
Okay.
No bruises, perfectly ground.
Big, fresh, ripe avocados? Oh, beautiful.
You know, guac. Hey, man, as if you're living. Will you stop it? All your stories about your dogs.
Well, my stories. I got stories. Please. I got stories that could last forever.
Have you heard of the mole people?
I broke up with a girl based on a football team losing an important game. I went missing from my family for days staying at a hotel because the Giants lost. I got stories that could last a lifetime.
Why wear pants? How long ago was that? I want fresh. I want new.
And I want the same.
I've heard that story 1,000 times.
Please.
I left my girlfriend 1,000 times before that.
I want the same. I don't want the guy jumping out of a car. He's almost kidnapped. It's not even like you were almost kidnapped. It was some other guy. I don't want these repetitive stories. I want fresh
new
stories.
I began the naked run in 2007.
Sounds like you both got some living to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
There is zero chance I would burgle a house. That's right.
Let's go on a living trip. That's what we'll do.
Were there men there?
Tell Sherry that for the show.
Vegas.
For our own.
We're going to Vegas.
Vegas for the show.
We're going to Vegas.
You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him.
Just for the sake of the show. Because if
just
we go to Vegas, now we have stories forever.
I used to gamble a lot.
This is what we're doing. It's research for the show. It's going to be funded. Well, we'll pretend like it's funded by the station. We'll get a sponsor. Andy from America, I'm sure, will sponsor. We'll bring him. He can come with us.
Now, hang on a moment. If we were to go to Vegas, I would not have to bring any of my own money to Vegas?
I don't understand how many times. So here's another thing. Canty, how many times have we told Dave Rothenberg that we would sponsor his trip to Vegas?
Like that kind of party?
Numerous times. Of all of the things that we repeat on this show, I'm surprised he can't remember that one.
Yeah, we'll be
feel like
ATMs.
That comes up every other week.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we could make it like a corporate retreat, right? We can write it off on a tax, Rico? Yeah.
Just write it off.
Write off Vegas, yeah. I'm on board, man.
We'll probably swing you by a rehabilitation center before we bring you home.
Is that what we're calling the Hard Rock now?
Yes, I don't want the double plow today.
The pool. The party.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah, until Sherry wakes up and says, no.
I'm in.
Plus, I wouldn't trust Sherry at home by herself with you in Vegas either with all these celebrities that hit on her.
Why?
Next thing you know, Rick Pitino will be mowing the lawn.
He'll be running around the house. Oh, you live here? I didn't realize you guys were here. Listen, I see your mom naked.
I delivered for Amazon
okay.
now?
Yeah. We must lead the league in Amazon deliveries, by the way. All right. So what do we have to get into today? Stroman, that injury, very upsetting from the Mets standpoint. Yankees, tough loss. Islanders, huge game. Lot to do. 800-919-3776. DeGrom certainly on the table. It's a busy the Wednesday. We have Stump Rothenberg coming your way at 6:45 this morning. So a lot to do. Oh, yeah, cash giveaways in the 6 o'clock hour and 7 o'clock hour, $250 a shot. So you go nowhere. You lock in with us. We make you laugh. Maybe we make you cry. And we get deep into the world of sports and mole people.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that why you overslept today, by the way? Were you a little on edge about this game tonight? Was that the genesis of this?
A little on edge, yeah. I mean, I had some work to do with the Twitter avatars, too, that took me longer than I thought.
I've done what I came to done.
Bring it along. Bring it.
Oh, I'm going to bring it. Oh, it's going to be...
It's going to be brought?
It's going to be brought today.
Okay.
You better believe it.
So you trying to develop these Twitter avatars, is that the reason that you had technical difficulties this morning? Is that a part of it?
Listen, I don't know what's going on with the situation.
Okay.
I pay all this money to have a dedicated line, and then for some reason you wake up one morning and the thing don't work. I don't get it.
Well, it's dedicated, all right. Dedicated to not working properly, especially when you need it.
This is Tim McCarthy, I guarantee it. He probably calls the cable company.
He's sabotaging you?
Yeah. I'll use this to make sure they have to come into the city. This is what he's doing.
It's going to be all your fault.
Well, no, it wouldn't have been my fault if you just kept your mouth shut and just bought me a couple minutes.
It was fine. We were buying you a couple of minutes. I'm breaking down the Yankees. We're talking about why Gary Sanchez wasn't in the lineup, and then Dave wants to draw attention to it.
I think the thing that people appreciate about the show is the transparency. If one of us is unwell, we say it. If one of us is sick, we say it. If one of us is missing, we say it. And that's what we do. We're honest with the people.
Is that what we do, or did Rick open the show for you when you were late one day?
Yeah, and I'm still hearing about, well, I don't know, open
well,
would be,
we didn't,
you know,
well,
a
Rick
term
didn't,
I don't know that I would use.
Well,
like,
Rick didn't bring it up.
Would be more appropriate.
It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates.
I try to close the show. Okay, and there you go. That's DCR forever.
what would have happened if my Comrex never got better that day?
A lot to get into today.
Well, I would have had to bring, like RJ would have had to co-host. I would have went full Anita, 57 guests. I would have said, pick up the phone. I want everybody in the Rolodex.
Where is Warren Sharp? Where is
Give
Warren
me
Sharp?
Wow. Give me everybody.
This is DCR.
DPR.
I would have been untucked podcast, reading stats.
Me? Did I get traded?
Yeah, I got rid of you. We brought Peter in for the
oh, dear
show.
God. And welcome aboard.
I would have done
that.
It would have been like, okay, coming up in the next segment, I'll read Buster Only's Twitter account.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
I'm breaking down the UEFA championships.
So good.
Yeah, I'd be funny, too, if maybe he even threw in, like, that was awesome, but if he was like, Giselle's a good pick or something like that, but Gundy's just straight-laced.
No, he's very serious.
That may win. Listen, that's got to be a heavy favorite for Drop Madness, right?
Yes, it has to be.
Heavy favorite.
Has to be.
But who does that go to? That's the question. Is that Rosenberg's drop or is that Gundling drop?
I think that's a Gundling miscellaneous bracket drop.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think because that drop doesn't happen without Rosenberg.
Yeah, but it's the deadpan humor of Gundy that really brings it home.
I don't think he's trying to be humorous.
I don't know.
It
felt a little snarky from Gundy. And I'm not saying I was here for it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not killing him for it. I thought it was great. But it did feel a little snarky.
He was disgusted.
Poor Gundling, by the way. How long, if a team of yours, guys, lost the way his 76ers lost, how long does that take you to recover from?
Next season. You don't get over it until the start of the following season, Dave. That's the only time you can flush it. Like, that's going to sit with the Sixers all offseason long, all summer long. That's all the front office and the coaching staff is going to be thinking about.
That lasts for me forever. I would, like there are
some games
that I'd never let go. That would be one of those games.
I will tell you this, Dave. There's still a loss that I can't get over. Playoffs, 2007, divisional round. I'm a Dallas Cowboy. We lose to the eventual Super Bowl champion, New York Giants. I will still lament that loss, Dave. I still talk to Ray Santiago about it. It comes up at least once a week.
In all seriousness.
It comes up at least once a week.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Okay, in all seriousness, though, the fact that Giants went on to go and win the Super Bowl, does it make you feel a little bit better about it?
No, it makes me feel worse, Dave, because we kicked their ass twice in the regular season that year. That was a game we had no business losing. You look at both rosters on paper. It wasn't even close, but it was just guys not performing, not executing in the critical moments of games. And that's exactly what happened to the Sixers.
Listen, you rely on Tony Romo in a big spot, and this is...
No, we relied on Patrick Creighton in a big spot, and he came up real small.
Patrick Creighton.
Real small.
He's in the will, by the way.
Is he?
Yeah. I left him on my gloves to Patrick Creighton
I love PC, but that's one of those that you hate. And I'm sure that the Sixers in that locker room, they feel the same way about Ben Simmons. Like, I know Joel Embiid is like, what the hell is Ben Simmons doing? Like, there were opportunities for him in the fourth quarter, and the guy shies away from him in what, four of the seven games in the series, he doesn't take a shot in the fourth quarter?
And he took three combined in the other three games.
Let's actually
take a listen to Daryl Morey of the 76ers. Will you try to trade Ben Simmons in the offseason?
We have a very strong group we believe in. None of us can predict the future of what's going to happen in any place. We love what Ben brings. We love what Joel brings. We love what Tobias brings. In terms of what's next, we're going to do what's best for the 76ers to give us the best chance to win the championship with every single player on the roster.
He gave a zero vote of confidence there for Ben Simmons, huh?
Zero, Dave.
I mean,
and our resident 49ers fan, RJ Santillo, said that sounds a lot like Kyle Shanahan saying, I don't even know if we're going to be alive tomorrow. Like,
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday. So that goes for all of us.
Doesn't it feel like that, Dave? Doesn't it feel
it's
exactly
terrible,
like that?
Because he's asked a point-blank question. Is Simmons going to be here next year? And he dances around it. I mean, that's like Fred Astaire, the way he's dancing around that thing.
Yeah, Dave, but it's clear that the guys in the locker room feel a way about it. Like, if you listen to Joel Embiid's commentary, like, there's a problem there. And for so long, everybody's been saying, trust the process, and the process yielded you these two foundational pieces, but they can't coexist. They've tried it the last two or three years. We've seen it on display in playoff meltdowns. Like, they don't work well together. So at some point, you got to move off of one of them. And I think based on what we saw from Embiid this year, it should make it a relatively easy decision for Daryl Morey.
Yeah, you have a center that can score like a point guard, and you have a point guard that has to score like a center. I mean, it doesn't really mesh well. Did you hear what – I mean, here's the other thing, Chris. You know this. Like, at least if there's a guy that you know, like, in those big moments – that he's put in all the work and no, because I mean, this has to be some of it has to be mental with him, right?
Yes,
like it has to be. Like
I would say the majority of it is mental.
Okay, but so I was listening to Stephen A. the other day, and he got a text message during his show from somebody that said Ben Simmons doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Simmons doesn't want to listen. So if you take that and couple with the fact, you know, of what he just saw in the postseason, of course you're going to feel a way about him as a teammate. Like, at least if you're working hard, like, and I can see you putting in the time and the effort to make yourself better, and you just come up short, then maybe, you know, it softens the blow. Like, I can live with that. But if I watch you, like, you're complacent, like, you don't care to work on your shooting, you don't listen to anybody, and then you give me that performance, you know, if Shaq was right, I'd want to punch him in the face, too.
And he's the same player that he was when he came into the league. He's no different.
No, he is different, Dave. I think he's worse. In terms of shooting, I think he's a worse shooter now than when he first came into the league. I mean, the guy's not even a threat from the mid-range. Like, he is awful when it comes to shooting the basketball. Anything outside of the restricted area is dicey when it comes to Ben Simmons, at best.
Yeah, and this guy's your like 4 feet.
Yeah, this guy's your primary ball handler. How does that work in the NBA?
Well, I mean, they're out. If he can shoot the ball at all, it's Milwaukee and it's Philadelphia right now in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Is it too much to ask the guy to be able to hit a 15 or 16 footer?
Yes.
Is that too much?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes.
But it shouldn't be, Dave. Not for
you're right,
an all-star caliber
be.
Player. Not for a guy that was the number one overall pick five years ago.
For anybody, Chris. For anybody. If you're a starting point guard in the league and you don't have a game that can make shots from 12 to 16 feet, how can you possibly get legitimate playing time?
Well, what do you mean? I mean, Giannis does it.
He's not a point guard.
Well, but that's the thing, though. They're going to have to come to the realization that they can't play him at that position. Like, and whoever ends up getting him, if he gets traded, like, they're going to have to build their team with the idea that Ben Simmons is going to play more like Giannis than a point guard, because he's not. He can't shoot. Like, that's not how he scores. It's not. And the fact is, I mean, the face of your franchise is your center.
Yes.
Like, Milwaukee does it, and they have, I mean, Brook Lopez is, I mean, he's a stretch five.
He can shoot it,
Yeah, he can shoot it. He's just sitting in the corner.
Yeah, he can shoot it.
So, if they had traded for Kyle Lowry, and I know they were asking for, I mean, Toronto was asking for everything to get Kyle Lowry, that would have made a huge difference.
They would have won that series. Yeah. If they had anybody that could shoot the basketball. If they had Danny Green, they might have won that series. But they didn't, and now they're done, and now away we go with Atlanta and Milwaukee starting tonight. All right, quick break. We'll come back. Again, lots of money coming your way in the 6 and 7 o'clock hours. The baseball. We'll get into that next. The Mets lose not only the game, not only a game to the Braves, who you look at as your biggest competition, but maybe your second-best starter, who couldn't continue in that game, and the Yankees lose a game that they probably shouldn't have, but they did. 800-919. What happened?
Probably should. That's an awful loss by the Yankees.
That's what I said.
It's horrendous.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said.
Well, they probably shouldn't have lost the game. I don't think that's a crazy statement.
Dave, they were 29-2 in games they were leading after seven innings. It was a Gerrit Cole start against Kansas City.
But when you were sleeping this morning, Chris and I got into it. They have... They have not been good in Gerrit Cole starts.
No, they haven't. I mean, I'm offensive. They got, especially, I mean, they had how many chances yesterday to blow
that
game
open? Oh, my God. A million chances to open that game up and to come back and to tie that game late. They couldn't get it done.
Yeah, that's one. Those would be one of the losses you look back and say that was an awful loss.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
It's now a mess. It really is. I mean, with Stroman going to be out now, you look at some bullpen injuries as well. Familia going to be out. DeGrom, the injury or the non-injury or whatever you want to consider it. The Mets are, Rick, they are really walking on thin ice at the moment.
Yeah, decimated. And they were able to, and listen, I mean, because of that starting pitching, especially the top three, and even Lucchese, I mean, he's been really good, and all of a sudden he's done.
He's done.
Yeah, he's done. Torn UCL.
Yeah,
Gesellman done for a while.
Yeah, it's too much. I mean, then you had VR leave, Nito gets hit. Like, it's just, we were able to, I mean, sustain it because, you know, the bench mob had stepped up. But, I mean, at a certain point, you're like, okay, like, this is great, and these guys are, you know, are good Major League Baseball players, but at some point, that's going to run out. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between, you know, everyday players and guys that are good players that can come off the bench and contribute for a while, but then you need you guys to come back and step in. So we're still waiting on that, but we always had the luxury of having the starting pitching.
That's right.
Especially those top three. And now, I mean, who knows? It's a sore hip. I don't know what that means. I mean, that could mean a bunch of different things.
And he tried to gut it out last night, and you could see he just wasn't able to.
Well, I think it looked like he kind of was like, okay, maybe I can get through this. And the trainer was like, no, why would you? I mean, let's not be stupid with this.
And the can just there shaking his head like, no.
Yeah, because it's only going to get worse. I mean, pitching is one of those things. It's such like you're such a finely tuned instrument, right? Like that if one thing goes wrong, all of a sudden it can lead to a chain of events where bad things can happen. So why even screw around with it? And he's been awesome. I mean, Stroman's been great.
He's been really, really good. Really good.
And then, I mean, you just two hits.
Yeah, your offense getting two hit by and Charlie Morton going seven strong with 11 strikeouts.
And they pitched well.
Well, yeah, I mean, outside of that three-run home run, and I actually, in saying this too, and I know Lindor, fans beat him up because he hasn't lived up to the bill yet with the offense and everything
else. What you're going to say. You're going to say as excited as he was when Diaz got out of that second inning, you were impressed by that, right?
Well, not only that, though, but he's in there. He's in his ear. He's giving him a pep talk, like pounding him on the chest. Come on, you can do this. And then all of a sudden he gets through it, and you see him. He's fist pumping it short. I mean, that's contagious, that kind of
energy. I liked it also.
I loved it. And the other thing, too, is I don't know if he would have turned the double play, but there have been problems between Lindor and McNeil all season long. Have they not?
Yeah, the one on the play to first right before the home run.
Yeah, in the third. That's an inning. Yep. That could be an inning-ending double play, right? I don't know. Does Guillaume make that?
I thought it should have been.
Well, but here's the thing, though. I mean, they got into a fight in the tunnel because they don't. I don't know if Lindor just doesn't think McNeil is great at second base, which he probably isn't great at second base, or they're not comfortable. But, I mean, that was a case where McNeil makes the decision to come all the way across second. And you can't, I mean, it's going to be hard. You're hard-pressed to turn a double play now with a shift like that. That's one of those ones
not when all your momentum is going away from the
exactly.
play.
Exactly. So you let, I mean, in theory, you would let Lindor make that play, and you go right to second, and you try to turn the double play. And I don't know if that McNeil's just back. Maybe, it seemed like your best infield defense is when Guillaume's at second and Lindor's at short. I mean, those two together.
I don't even think that's a question. That's what it is. Yeah,
those two are dynamic together.
Yeah.
But McNeil's back and you need his bat in the lineup, so I get it. But, I mean, that ripped your heart out, man. I mean, that's to see Stroman leave that game, I was like, oh my God, again, yes. Another one?
And you knew the second he left the game, I don't know if you did, actually. I did. The second he left the game, I was like, they're not going to win this game. But now you think about what it's going to mean for the future. And you got to think there's a pretty good chance he's going to go on the IL. And the one thing you can't afford to lose is your starting pitching right now. Because DeGrom, as great as he is, you'd have to say he's a five-inning guy right now. Mm. You don't know what's going to happen with Stroman.
Walker's nicked up.
Walker's nicked up, and he's had some issues of late. You don't know when Syndergaard's going to come back.
Carrasco. You don't know when Carrasco, yeah.
Carrasco's not even thrown off a mound yet. Who knows when you get Carrasco back? He's not even thrown off a mound.
I know, but all of a sudden this strength of like we have so much. Lucchese, who I thought stunk and then was much better the last like month or so, he's now done for the season.
Yeah, I mean they just started to trust him enough to kind of make his way through the lineup a third time. Like he had earned that right, and of course, I mean, feel awful for the guy. He ends up tearing his elbow up. But yeah, who do you turn to now? I mean, if Stroman goes on the IL, who do you got? Yamamoto?
Eichhoff, Yamamoto. I mean, this is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great options. I mean, even yesterday you saw with the bench, too. It's like you don't have enough bench players. So David Peterson's hitting. You got Eichhoff's up hitting.
You got a hit?
I know. Well, you got one of the two hits that you got.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
They got to watch May throw two wild pitches in the ninth.
Oh, my God.
That may have been the wildest pitch you've ever seen to go from first to third.
It's impressive.
You're not going to win. I mean, you've been. The last eight games, you're 2-6. You've scored 9 runs. You've been shut out 4 times.
Mm.
I mean, that's not going to win a lot of baseball. I don't care how good you're pitching. That's not going to win a lot of baseball games.
No, and that's the part of the team that's going to have to step up, the offense. Like, with your pitching staff going through so many changes because of the injury, like, you're going to have to get those guys to produce. And having your top four in your lineup go over is not a recipe for success. I don't care who you're playing. So, I mean, that's the area of the team that's going to be front and center during this next stretch for the month of July. Like, that's who's going to have to carry the water until everybody can get back healthy. I mean, the starting pitching has carried you for the first third of the season. Now it's time for your lineup to step up and produce. And if they don't, then the Mets are going to have a hard time standing at the top of the NL East standings.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the team that you expected, and they've done a hell of a job. The bench has done a hell of a job keeping them afloat in combination with that starting pitching. But, I mean, it's really been the starting pitching that has put you where you're at.
You know who's pitching for the Mets tonight? Any idea?
Ooh.
I got the information right in front of me.
This isn't from RJ, though. Like, this is
no, legitimate. This is legitimate. Wow. No.
Y'all going to have to stop throwing RJ under the bus, man.
Well, RJ has shown that he can't be trusted. No, and it's a good question, Rick, and I appreciate you going there. No, it's not from RJ. It's a legitimate source.
I don't think it's anybody that we would know.
No, I didn't know of him probably till a couple days ago. Tyler McGill.
Oh, is this the son of Miss McGill?
Yes, T with Tyler McGill. Eighth round pick in 2018, has a 3.06 ERA in AA and AAA this year with 53 strikeouts in 35 1/3 innings.
You know what makes this worse,
Tyler McGill.
You know what makes this worse, though, Dave? Is because it all works in unison, right? Is that now all of a sudden you got guys that who knows what the hell Tyler McGill is going to give you, but I mean you mentioned it earlier, Familia, no Gesellman, Reed Foley's been bad, so I mean we all of a sudden now get starting pitching where I'm only getting 4 innings. Who are you going to? I mean now what happens to your bullpen?
It's a problem. Here's what they go on to say about McGill. John Harper from SNY says he talked to a scout who says, quote, he's an unfinished product, and the scout went on to say they would be rushing him if they brought him up to the big leagues right now. So that's great news.
And welcome aboard.
And welcome aboard.
Let's hope he doesn't come untucked.
And this is Tyler McGill. All right, great. Let's go to John in Valley Stream and say good morning. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just got a quick question, man. I've been watching, you know, I'm a diehard Yankee fan, but I've been watching that season. I can't stop watching DeGrom. I can't stop watching this guy, Otani. Just kind of curious to get your take. Do you think it's possible this year that we could see in both leagues a Cy Young and MVP with Otani and DeGrom?
I don't think there's no way Otani's going to win.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks.
No, Otani's not going to win.
No, he's not going to win a Cy Young. No.
No. I mean, maybe listen. He's going to get a ton of votes for MVP.
I think deservedly so.
But oh, deservedly so.
There's no way he's going to win the Cy Young Award.
Isn't that amazing to you, though? I mean, you got the two. I mean, what Otani's doing, I mean, it's must-watch television. And then when Trout comes back, you sign Rendon. I mean, you got two of the guys you want to see the most when Trout's back, when healthy, right? Otani and Trout. And their team, they still stink. That's amazing to me.
Well, they're terrific to watch.
No, I know. But if you're Mike, if you're Mike Trout, you're in the conversation for the best to ever play the game. And it's like, I can't be on a team that consistently makes the postseason.
Correct.
Like that would drive me crazy.
Because look at their starting pitching.
No, I know. So why not go spend some money on starting pitching? I mean, I don't.
I agree with you. I think you should. So all right. If you could afford to go to one baseball game and watch it live in person, I'll ask you both this question: would you spend it on watching DeGrom or Otani? And I'll even up the ante on a day Otani is pitching and in the lineup.
A DeGrom.
It's still DeGrom for me. Yeah, I was about to say.
Otani's great, but what DeGrom is doing, I mean, this is...
surgical.
Yeah,
he's surgical.
And here's the amazing part, too, because you even saw with Garrett Cole over the last couple starts, like a lot of these pitchers that aren't using the sticky stuff now, in Major League Baseball is an embarrassment. We'll get into that. I mean, it's a joke with what they're doing. The guys taking their pants off and
I loved
else.
It.
They're, well, making, yeah, a love it, but they're making a mockery of it.
The players are making a mockery of it. No, so, I mean, you've seen it with Garrett Cole, too. The adjustment is a lot more off-speed stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you don't want... If I don't have that extra ride on my fastball and I make a mistake with it, it's going to be home runs flying all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to keep it down to the zone. Like, that's been the adjustment. Okay. I always wonder this, and I think this is what separates the ground from everything else. You guys brought this up yesterday. You guys had the stat where it's, you know, how elite his fastball, his slider, and his changeup are, how he's got three elite pitches.
Yep.
You know, I mean, with that sticky stuff, do you even need a third pitch? If I got that
probably
fastball
not.
That rides in the zone and I got a nasty slider, I don't even need a third pitch.
Probably not. But if you do have a third pitch, like that just takes you to another level.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. He's unhittable.
And you're going to need one now.
But you know what though, Rico? That could end up being a good thing for Garrett Cole though. That could end up being a good thing because I mean you're probably leaning toward getting more length out of him because he's not throwing as much gas. Like, if I'm talking about a Garrett Cole start being 7 or 8 innings now as opposed to 6 or 7 with double-digit strikeouts, I'll take that as a Yankees fan. All I care about is the result. And if it's 2 runs or better, then that's a win.
No, I don't disagree with you. I think a lot of the time strikeouts are overrated.
100%.
I want to see my starters go as long as possible.
Sure.
But Garrett Cole isn't, like, as good as he's been. Like, he's been good. And I mean, you know how he finished, you know, he finished the 7th inning throwing 100 miles an hour. He hasn't been that... like you mentioned, you know, double-digit strikeouts guy.
Overpowering, yes.
He hasn't been overpowering.
No, he has not. Here is Buster Olney, KJZ, discussing DeGrom and how what he's doing has really never been seen before in Major League Baseball.
Jacob DeGrom, we're seeing right now, is the best pitcher that we've ever seen because he dominates that corner low and away to right-handed hitters and low and in to left-handed hitters like nobody that we've seen since Mariano Rivera. And Rivera was a relief pitcher who did it one inning at a time. He's faced 250 hitters this year. He struck out 117 of those, 47%. And think about these numbers. Against the 1, 2, and 3 batters on opposing teams, that's the first, second, and third hitters in opposing lineups, those guys are 6-for-89 with 45 strikeouts. They've scored 1 run. We're in the middle of June.
I have a better stat to break down that the first, second, and third hitters are 1, 2, 3 in the lineup.
I have the better stat than that, though.
You're gonna outstat Buster Olney?
Yeah, because he listens to the show. He had my 47% strikeout rate. I already had that yesterday before he went on KJZ. So, pitchers in Major League Baseball, their batting average is 112 this season.
Hang on, let me digest this. When pitchers bat, they hit 112.
Oh, I saw okay. this. No, I saw
they
this.
They hit 112.
Stat.
Okay.
Batting average of opponents against Jacob DeGrom?
Wait, you're not going to let us guess this?
No, you can get KC. I know it. Oh, you know it?
Yeah.
Oh, they're hitting like 110 against DeGrom is what you're getting.
Close.
Hit. Close, 113.
Wow.
So pitchers on average hit 112. Real hitters against Jacob DeGrom hit 113.
So Jacob DeGrom makes every player, every batter into an opposing pitcher at the plate.
Yeah, pretty much. If right? you want to simplify it, pretty much, yeah.
Dave, he strikes out half the batters he faces.
I know.
And he's not even 100%.
Rico, he's not 100%, but what I can't understand is how he's doing this, yet keeping his pitch count so low. Because usually if you're a high strikeout guy, you got a high pitch count. But not Jacob DeGrom.
Well, the other day when he got the start against the Braves, I think the first inning he threw nine pitches and he struck out two guys.
It's unbelievable, Dave. It's unbelievable.
I mean, he's like a completely different level. So that's the great news. The bad news is what happened with Marcus Stroman. Here is the Mets manager, Luis Rojas, giving us the update from last night.
Right now it's just left hip soreness. That's what he told us on the mound. He in one of the pitches, he landed and he felt that he hyperextended a little bit, so he started getting sore. So warm-up pitches, McCann came in and gave him feedback that he wasn't really following through. He wanted to stay, but I think it was wise to come out, just, you know, be cautious. You can hurt something else just by not being as deliberate with your delivery, using your hips, right? So it's the right thing coming out. So, you know, we'll reassess tomorrow, see how he is.
Yeah, he's got a good-looking lower half, too. I mean, he generates most of his
Well, he's a little
velocity.
Guy. Yes.
Yeah, he's a little guy, but I mean, that's where he generates. And you see him on the mound all the time. Like, he's so in tune with all the mechanics. You know, like with all the muscle activation and everything else. That's another thing I bet plays into a lot of this. And this was never like, when me and Canty, it was probably like the tail end of our career, we started having like the muscle activation and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Like guys are so aware.
What is muscle activation, by the
Dave,
way?
Dave, you have to spend, and this is, it would drive me mental because it's like all these little things that you don't want to do, but it takes so much time doing it. It's like you spend all this time. It's an active warm-up where you activate every single muscle. Like you can activate like activate your glutes, activate your quads.
It usually takes some resistance to be able to do it. Yeah. It's not easy. It takes a really long time, which is why at the end of my career I had to get to the ballpark 4 hours before kickoff.
I spent more time at the rink towards the end of my career for just to get ready.
Exactly.
I was getting my ankles strained.
It takes longer to get ready than to play the damn game.
Canty, we would have a pregame skate, which lasts like 15 minutes. I would be there like 3 hours early. I'd have to get my ankles drained to put my skates on, and then we'd have like a 15-minute skate around.
Yikes.
And then go home for a nap.
Yikes.
That was torture.
Yeah.
But this is no
man.
Good. This is no good. I mean,
no.
This is, I mean, I'm telling you, Dave, you probably felt the same way. Him leaving that game,
I was sick.
I was sick to my stomach.
Not the loss of the game, because fortunately you put yourself in position where, I don't know if you want to say you can afford to, but you kind of can afford to lose a little bit of ground here to Atlanta, but you cannot afford to lose Stroman for a long period of time. You just can't.
No, especially not knowing what's going on with DeGrom, too. I mean, you got to make sure that you try to keep your top of your rotation intact, just because you know you got so many questions on the back end.
Like your offense stinks.
And now you have a doubleheader on Friday against Philadelphia.
And then your bullpen's decimated. I mean, this is...
So, Dave, best case scenario, like Stroman's absence at like one start, is that the best case?
I mean, the best case scenario is he makes his next start, but I find it hard to believe when you have a hip injury and you come out of the game.
Yeah, I don't.
4 days.
Yeah, I don't
see
that happening.
But you say that. But DeGrom, I mean, he made his next start. Maybe this is just something to tighten up on him.
And I hope that you're right. If I gave you if we cuddle married and trashed Stroman, would you say IL next start misses extended time?
Give me the three options again.
He goes on the IL.
Yep.
So you know, 10 days he's back.
Mm-hmm.
Makes his next start or extended time.
Oh, so you're giving me extended time. So yes. IL is not extended time?
Well, IL would be like you know.
Missed one start?
IL misses a start back in 10 days.
So I would probably, I would probably marry misses one start, cuddle makes his next start, and then have, like, emotionally I couldn't take it, so I would trash the extended.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I can't deal with that. I've been enjoying the season too much for all of a sudden to now have. Because we've dealt with so many injuries.
Oh, my. The amount of
injuries. So many injuries.
They had guys playing in the field that you didn't know who they were. like Billy McKinney, Mason Williams. They had to acquire Cameron Maben, who they brought in, and he couldn't get a hit for them.
Dave, we were on like our fifth center fielder.
Actually on the fifth center fielder.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, Fargus gets hurt, then Maben's playing center field, they get rid of him. I mean, it is at some point it's going to catch up to you, right? Especially if now the pitching starts to get hurt too. Because you can't have position players getting hurt, which has affected your offense. Your offense stinks. And now your bullpen, which has been a pleasant surprise, they start to go down with injuries. And now, you know, one of your three best starters goes out? No, you can't
afford it. And Conforto was supposed to be back in the lineup last night, but I guess there's COVID issues at Syracuse,
mm-hmm.
and he couldn't play. And they had to cancel the Syracuse game last night. So he should be in the lineup tonight. But, yeah, nothing has gone well for the Mets injury-wise.
It's a battle of attrition. I mean, let's just hold
a long season.
Well, didn't Rojas say after the game that he thought that they caught it early, so it's not something that they anticipate being a big deal?
Yes.
So I guess if you're a Mets fan, that's what you have to hang on to, right? I mean, that's what you have to hope that it's not something that's going to keep him out for an extended period of time. And, you know, like you guys said, best case scenario, I guess he doesn't miss his next start. But, I mean, you just hope that whatever it is, they take the approach of being conservative and just making sure that you don't do anything to jeopardize him being available long term. Like, that would be my biggest thing. But based on how they've handled Jacob deGrom, I don't have a lot of confidence that the Mets are going to see it that way.
It is 98.7 ESPN's $1,000 a day giveaway. Today in the 6 a.m. hour and again in the 7 a.m. hour, be listening for the cue to call and be ready to call in at 888-987-ESPN to claim $250 cash. Like yesterday's winner, Dwayne Butcher from East Windsor, New Jersey. You can also cash in by listening to the Michael Kay Show in the 2 and 5 p.m. hours, all from your home for the hookup. Your good friends right here at 98.7 ESPN. Let's go to Sean in East Brunswick. Good morning, Sean. You're on 98.7
ESPN. Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, Sean.
I just wanted to go over Dave. Bad guy this morning. Wow. Throwing Rick under the bus saying he was sleeping. That is a bad guy.
Listen, he overslept. He used the Comrex as the excuse. And, of course, Sean, you come to his defense.
Dave, you get your boys back. You don't try throwing the poor guy under the bus.
And that's not who he is, Sean. He's not a foxhole guy, Sean. That's not who he is.
No, he's definitely not. He's definitely not. His upbringing, Jesus.
You wouldn't want me in a foxhole with you.
I'd silver spoon in his mouth, thermometer in his butt.
Dave,
please.
You wouldn't fit in the foxhole with me.
I would fit in the foxhole with you, Sean. You're not funny. You're a bad guy. I was fat at one point. I'm a bad guy? How about that? Sean calls, makes a decent point, me being a bad guy, and then making the point of me being a bad guy, he turns into a bad guy. Those were huge, fat people.
This is what you do, though. You bring the worst out of people.
You wouldn't want me in a foxhole, by
the way. You'd accidentally pull the pin on the grenade in the foxhole.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I'd be great
with
a grenade.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
But
the first sign of daylight, I'm out of there so quickly, I would leave you all on your own.
You would be the dead body that we'd use as a shield to drag.
100%.
You could hide under me.
Yeah, cover all sorts of surface area.
Now I have fractured glass in my rear.
You hide right under me. And that way, when like the opposition walks by, they're like, nope, there's no one there. See, that would be something that I would try at some point.
To hide like under a dead body?
Yeah, if we were just undermanned, just like rub some blood on my face, grab a body, and just put it on myself for a minute.
Wait, in war, not just in everyday life, right?
Yeah, I don't walk around the neighborhood just like, oh, like,
right?
When you walk down the street to the city, like, excuse me, sir, can you pretend you're a dead body? Let me just hide right under you, pour a little blood on you. Can we try that? It's something I've always wanted to do.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's a new story for you so I don't get criticized. One of our... Back, this was a long time ago, we took boxing with the Islanders mm-hmm. because one of our coaches, Greg Cronin, great guy, he just wanted to make sure that young guys were ready in case they got challenged to fight, which was awesome. I mean, boxing, like Chris, you've boxed. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing workout. So this guy was great, but he was super intense, and he was a Vietnam vet, and he was telling us some crazy stories. And one of the stories he actually told us, because he was like, I don't know if he was a SEAL or not, but he was, like, involved in the action. He said at one point he's fully camouflaged, right, in the jungle, fully camouflaged. And all of a sudden he gets, like, he's covered, but he gets approached. And he can't say anything because he's by himself. The guy actually, he's so well camouflaged, the guy walks up to him and unzips and, like,
urinates almost, all over him?
Not that, like, almost on him. Like, that's how well camouflaged. And he was like, it was the, like, I couldn't even tell you how nervous in that moment I was that if I make one sound, I mean, that's it.
That's
it's him
it,
by himself. Done. He makes one sound. It's night-night.
He should have been like, stop peeing on me. Move over. Two steps to the left. It's disgusting.
Oh, my God.
Did you eat asparagus?
Yeah, I'm down here all by myself.
Could you imagine that, though? How nervous you would be in that situation?
I don't think I'd do well in war. Oh. No.
I'd start hyperventilating. I'd be having a nervous wreck.
No, I don't think I'd do well in war.
Shout out for the coach giving the guys boxing lessons, though. How about that?
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.